copy of all of the chairman's. I apologize for being late. But I will take my mailing. I will, it's 9:22, and I hereby will call the Committee of Public Safety and Security. Thank you, to order. Thank you. We have a quorum of legislators Bert and Ryan, Parkham and myself. We have several guests today, and we want to really just to go over a maybe a couple things this morning as we get started. I appreciate the opportunity that the chairman has given me to be the new commissioner, the commissioner chairman of public. I don't want to be commissioner chair of
self-promoted.
I'm happy to be chairman.
Tom, don't get nervous. Sweat beads on your forehead.
And,
you never get through these parts anyway.
Never, never. And as we go through the year, so I think we all agree, except for the record, I think we all agree that looking at county government, one of the core missions of the county government is public safety. And so we all certainly appreciate all the work you do and all the various aspects of public safety for Westchester County. And hopefully during the year we can maintain the dialogue and stay up to date with you in any way that we here, the committee on behalf of the board, can help work with all the people involved in public safety. That's we're all here to.
We look forward to it.
To accomplish the same thing. Very good. I guess it was a year ago or more, we passed, we supported the funding for this these projects in Yonkers and Mount Vernon, and we've specifically asked Commissioner Longworth here today to give us an update. And I guess it's the Shot Spot Systems, if you recall. I don't recall that name, but I guess that's what it's called. I know we approved the time. And some of us had some questions, you know, and we were willing to go ahead and try it, but I think some, at least speak for myself, I was somewhat hesitant. I wasn't quite sure. It was a new technology to me, at least. Is it really going to work? So I was interested in getting an update. Where are we? And I know it's been deployed, and do you have any feedback that you can
send? When was it deployed? When actually was it put in effect? When,
well, in 2009, the $3 million capital project was approved. Mount Vernon's been up and running for a significant amount of months, and it seems to be functioning very effectively. They're averaging approximately 33 hits a month that are actually gunfire.
And Commissioner McKenna, just to, I'm sorry, John, just for the record, identify yourself for the tape.
I'm sorry. So George Longworth, Commissioner of Public Safety.
So, yes, maybe John may have Commissioner just kind of walk through it. It was
Mount Vernon. It would be helpful to know the start date. So
okay,
we,
I think, Mount,
I
think
we passed the bond, but there's a delay before it's implemented.
So maybe Commissioner, I know you weren't here when you know it was up and running, but if you could just walk us through the timeline, maybe, is when they were first installed and tested and trained and then put into actual operation.
Sure. Mm-hmm. In May of 2009, the spending capital project was approved for $3 million to install ShotSpotter in both the cities of Mount Vernon and the cities of Yonkers. The gunshot system detection system became operational in Mount Vernon in October of 2009. If I could circulate for the board, I have a sample of a monthly report from the system itself. It detects, you know, pretty close to an average of 30 gunshots per month within the city of Mount Vernon. Yonkers has just come online.
That's a high number, isn't it?
It is a high number. Yonkers, and that's filtering out fireworks and non-gunfire incidents that will cause an activation. Yonkers just recently completed installation. The problems with the installation being you have to get permission from locations to install the equipment along the way.
Private
properties, sides of buildings, etc. So they just went up and operational. So both systems are fully operational, and Mount Vernon seems to be, you know, very effective. They're having great results with it. They speak well of it. They are happy with the system.
Well, 30 hits a month tells you how many times it's been detected, but how does that translate into apprehending or determining, you know, that a crime has been committed? Well, as opposed to just, there's a gunshot at X street, so what? That's useless unless you can then follow up and find out if there was a crime committed, if it was a random gunshot, or...
Well, I think any time a gunshot is fired, a crime is committed. The simple discharge of the weapon is a crime in and of itself.
But have they been successful in apprehending?
They have been successful in apprehending
on that?
And developing evidence. We don't have the statistics because many of those cases are ongoing criminal prosecutions presently, and it's information that's not available to us in each case, you know, in each specific case in Mount Vernon. As dispositions occur in the cases, and going forward, we'll be able to gather that data for you.
John, maybe as part of that answer, can maybe explain the relationship between the county police and Mount Vernon? Because obviously, I assume it's the Mount Vernon.
Yeah, I mean, we understand that's not your
implementing that. So, are you there as advisors, or they speak to you on the phone?
Just get data.
Yeah, do you have any interaction at all?
Well, the only interaction we have is to ask for information to update the board on your request. The reality is that each individual gunshot that's discharged in either of these cities creates a criminal complaint in those cities. And they're investigated independent of the county police.
Right. So I think, John, I think the point is, you know, it's being implemented.
I think at some point it would be helpful to have the Mount Vernon authorities come in and give us, detailed report as to, how these detection progresses through to, a charge. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it does. But it would be helpful, interesting to know, what the ultimate results are, not just detection of gunshots.
Legislator Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The county put the capital money into the program. Is the city responsible for its operational expenses?
Both cities are responsible for the operational expenses as well as the software upgrades and enhancement to the equipment as it goes forward.
And is your sense of this that it's a relatively easily maintainable situation, that we're not going to be looking at having to substantially upgrade this with more capital expenditure?
No, I think that the lion's share of the expense is behind us, and I think that both cities, when they took ownership of the system, agreed to the maintenance and upgrades going forward.
Well, that was in the original IMA, wasn't it?
That's correct.
Yeah. So now the question of false positives. We were talking about at the time that we passed this, there was some concern that backfires and fireworks and who knows what else would be a possibility. Well, that's what I'm asking. The degree of false positives that have caused actions which probably would have caused the police to operate to invoke themselves anyway. But are we finding that the system is sufficiently, is excessively delicate, or is it missing things?
I think if you take a look at the report, you'll see that it sorts activations fairly accurately, and therefore makes it a pretty effective tool.
But the police on the ground are not finding that they are even with the sortation, are not finding they're responding to something that doesn't need them to respond.
I think generally, noises that are similar to gunshots will generate a police response, whether shot spotter is in place or not in place. Mm-hmm. People have a tendency, especially in the cities, to call the police when there's activations.
Well,
which sound like a gunshot.
The concern had been that, in fact, they weren't. That we were getting into a situation where people were afraid to call. That we were putting these into areas where there was a high incidence of these things, and there was a deterrence, maybe even an intimidation, that would lead to people not responding to this. And the whole idea of the technology was to get around that. And of course, there's got to be some area where mistakes would be made by either the software or by the individuals in question. But the city ultimately has to live with this thing. And if it's, I used to be a trustee of a nursing home, and we would get inmates all the time. We'd pull the fire alarm. And we'd roll an engine, we'd roll an ambulance, and it would turn out that by the time we got there, it was the little old lady who was bored out of her skull, and so she just pulled the lever. You don't want to have that, and obviously this is completely technologically based. But is the sense that you have that this is in fact not generating that, at least that degree of false positives and false transactions?
That's my understanding.
Okay. And they're happy with it. I mean, they got to live with it. If it's a mess, they're going to stop using it. They're going to stop maintaining it. It'll fall into disrepair.
To be quite frank, in the 4 months or so that I've been involved, I've not heard one complaint or one negative with regards to the systems. Only positives and accolades.
Terrific. That's very good news. It was a lot of our money. A lot of money in a very fast turnaround that we did, and it's good to hear that we're in fact doing the job.
Well, it works, which is good. But I'd like to know where it leads at the end of the day. I mean, it's one thing, we're detecting 33 gunshots a month, but if it never leads to anything, so what?
And I think, John, to your point, I think ultimately, as you said, I think we need to bring in the local police officials, because they're the ones actually implementing, but Leslie Harkin and then Leslie William.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Could you just take us through on the activity report, the comments section, would you translate that for the lay folks? Just what the what those comments actually mean.
Yeah. Now I assume that means there's more police present. What
this looks like a time lock. So if I'm looking, let's take Sunday, March 7th, 1:21. They acknowledged a call, and this is CAD information. What I would say is responses to the activity report.
So I guess what does acknowledged all mean? In layman's terms.
I'm not used to their report, but I would say this is all the cars acknowledge that they're responding to shots fired.
Okay.
There is location based on 3 or 3 shots fired. This all appears to be CAD information or system information that's generating their response.
And it's got the time of dispatch on there too.
Correct. And the locations. Right. It's got it's an incident number, which is their computer generated system number, time, the location. So you can, if you go down the addresses, you'll get an idea where these shots fired are being discovered.
And CAD being computer aided dispatch. Right. So essentially just a dispatch log.
Right. Thank. So then, this is actually could be very helpful information, I guess, to get back to Legislator Nona's point about the local authorities. You know, what strategies are they putting in place, you know, when you see multiple incidents on the same street or in the same neighborhood?
If I could refer you to page 2, which I think is really the graphic of showing you where the shots are. And the color, this is unfortunately it's in black and white, so we don't get the legend in color. But you can see the cluster of areas where the shots are being fired. Now, take that the next step. As a police administrator, I'd be looking at the date, the time, what's going on in that location. These are all things that will drive you to make correct assignments of undercover personnel, of anti-crime personnel. So there's a lot of information here that I think gives them a lot to work with. In addition to the possibility of apprehending in a real-time situation, this shot spotter is sending an alarm before the people make the call. Whether they make the call or not is obviously up to interpretation and people's own desire of their neighborhood. But the shot spotter is calling it, so therefore there is a response. So you're getting, I think you're getting quicker responses to incidents not based on phone calls.
It would be interesting to know then if there's clusters of these incidents, whether there's greater police coverage in those areas, and whether that leads later on to a reduction in the number of incidents.
Right. And you would you know what you would also do, in all honesty, you'd overlay this with your parolees and your probationers and your crimes and your banks and things like that. You know, you would try and find the logic to help. It's just another piece of information that helps you lay it into where you can put your resources.
So, Mr. Chair, it would help us sometime to know when we get the local authorities and to learn know how they use the data, what they do with it, and there's lots of uses where it could be very beneficial.
Well, question before I throw this, I appreciate that, and just talking about those other comments made about the parolees, and to what extent might the county GIS system, is there data in the GIS system that
the county has
back to the locality?
The county has lots of information like that, and the expertise, so I think, there's a lot of places for that. The Intel Center, the Westchester County Intel Center, which is a combination of our crime analysis unit and the WIC DA's office. There's a lot of information that could be brought forth and mapped out and given to them to help them address this issue.
And given we've only got 5 or 6 months under our belt. Legislator Williams.
Yes, I want to, first of all, I can tell you that from a firsthand standpoint, I know for a fact that the system is working. I've been in the police department when there were gunshots, and I've seen actually the deployment that's done as a result of that, and I've also been following it locally. One of the things that's important is that there is a camera system as a part of this.
That's correct.
So a lot of where there are gunshots, they're able to either identify witnesses, potential witnesses, the areas, and the perpetrators in some circumstances, not in all. But it clearly brings them closer to where they were without the system. Without the system, a gunshot is fired. They go there, but they don't know who potentially to talk to. They have no clue which exact location the gunshot was fired in. The second point is on the clusters. On the clusters, clearly we have areas that we know that in the local area, they know that the situation is occurring in certain corridors where you have a lot of these gunshots. And the deployment, Mount Vernon does not have the amount of police officers to really do an adequate deployment and really in certain areas because of the fact that the police department is small in relation to the incidences. But nevertheless, this technology gives them the ability to assign efficiently in terms of undercover cops and their using the investigative techniques that they do, and also to actually kind of see areas where potentially there is a kind of a consistent development of crime because there might be some individuals who are really organized because they're involved in different activities, not just gunshot, but drug activity. And so it gives them a different amount of information. I think that in the first year, I was there the first month, I think, when it was deployed and saw it worked. And I think in the first year, this is a month data. Imagine when they get to a point of where this is where they really can key in and use the information. I think it's going to be extremely helpful as the experience with this develops, and as the officers are able to really kind of key in. Given that Mount Vernon is a densely populated and kind of a smaller area, response time is a lot shorter, in that they get to a scene very, very quickly. And they're able to distinguish between the firecrackers and the gunshots. So even though they deploy for firecrackers, they're not going to fully deploy the way they would deploy for a gunshot. So it does save the local. They're not going to, if they notice the shot spotter indicates clearly what. Matter of fact, they had a demonstration one time where they demonstrate a firecracker versus a gunshot, and they're looking at it on the screen, so they know that that's a firecracker. But that doesn't mean that they're going to deploy four or five units to that area. But if it's a gunshot, they certainly will deploy a different number of officers, medical assistants, and you know the whole nine. So it clearly is very, very important. I'm very, very happy that the commissioner has actually brought this data to us, and I think it's a very good investment for the county, given that the situations here are situations that the local community could not deal with in and of itself. I can tell you that right now. With the incidents that we were having prior to this, that Mount Vernon and Yonkers were having prior to the deployment of this technology, those is very, very difficult for those communities to really deal with the incidences of drug activity. A lot of this also comes also from different areas outside of Westchester. So given most of these cities are border cities, the cities are along the New York City corridor. So we deal with situations that are typically you would deal with in New York City versus, you know, and so it's but not having the resources as many of the precincts in the city of New York, it makes a huge difference to have the county be involved in helping to deal with those situations.
To your point, I believe the system detected a number of shots in 4-7 precincts.
Right, exactly.
Exactly.
And they were able to keep it. The thing about it is, I remember when I was a councilman, we used to do ride around, basically, where you would, you know, as an elected official, you can get into the police and they'll take you around, you know, late at night, you know, and really get to see the situations that they encounter. And you would be amazed just looking at that as you go through the different parts of the city and even into trying to follow people who are then flee into New York City and then having to communicate with the 4-7 precinct and hope to get the level of cooperation, which they're very good cooperation, but New York City has a lot more resources, obviously. I mean, our police department is probably less than one precinct in New York City in terms of manpower, technology, and support. So it's significant that the county actually be a part of that.
Thank you. Before I go on the chair, quick question on geography. Because Lyndon is, you know, talking about the city, but my recollection is, that's why if the commission, if you can bring us up to date, I thought it was installed in just a certain area. I'm looking at the map, it almost looks like it's citywide. Can you just refresh the committees or my memory as to just the area of actual implementation and remote?
It covers the entire city.
It does cover the entire city. Okay.
It covers the entire city, yes.
So,
So we were able to, with the dollars involved.
Yes.
So there's cameras?
The cameras we don't have. The cameras don't cover the entire city. The cameras are only in certain areas. Like the cluster you're looking at here, there are cameras in this cluster.
The technology to triangulate the sound is
actually... Yes, but the triangulation is all over the city. Because given that it's 4.2 square miles of city, there's, you know, they can reach any area.
Okay, my memory is blurring. No, Mr. Jenkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On both sides, because in Yonkers and Mount Vernon, we allocated the same amount of money.
Right.
So Yonkers is just geographically bigger, right? So it was in a smaller area. However, in Mount Vernon, when we went to do the demonstration, they said that it could cover the whole city. And they gave some really good examples of the person. And one person's example was they had the ShotSpotter video, right? Sure. And they had picked up that person as a potential candidate in this, and he said, oh, I wasn't there, etc. And then they showed him the video, right? And they said, is that you with the smoking gun in your hand?
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Literally.
And that kind
of... That was the end of it.
because what happens is that with the commissioners all came up and told us before was about the bullet fairy, right?
Right.
You know, so that somehow... someone got shot, they don't know who did it, how it happened, and then you have escalation from there.
Right, exactly.
So when people are retaliating, they're going back and forth. So the real questions are just a few. One is that the statistics were there. One, I don't know if we can get this, Mr. Chairman, or not, if we could really drive down to get the statistics on the savings at each one of the different levels. Because there obviously is savings in the municipality from their detective work. So instead of them having to send out 50 detectives or 10 detectives or whatever number they would send out when a shot rang out, because I guess that's what they normally would do. They fan the area, they knock on a bunch of doors. No, you don't have to do as much of that. That's got to lead to savings. It's got to lead to savings as far as the court system is concerned, you know, as far as having data that, you know, is pretty ironclad. You don't have to kind of develop the same amount of data. It doesn't take it away, right, because good police work is still good police work. It's got to save time there. It's got to save time in the court as far as the district attorney's office, et cetera. It's like, hey, you know, it is what it is. You know, you can do this and get locked up for XYZ time, or we need some additional assistance. And again, looking at the savings from a regional perspective, because it may not save us X amount of dollars. It may save us a little bit in our probation cost and that kind of thing. But altogether, saving our regional government, how we're driving down costs for everybody and using that particular approach. Because that was, I think, one of the selling points for many of the colleagues that didn't have it in their system, was that there was going to be savings that would generate for the county and for the property taxpayers overall. And I did note the cooperation with New York City that Ms. Williams was referring to before. Is there something formal in that ties into the crime, the Intel Center? Because I did see recently that there's some new things that, Mr. Chairman, that they're doing with public safety and the district attorney's office cooperating with that Intel Center. I just saw some new things coming through, some new contracts coming through for that. So maybe we can, you know, hear some of how that would work as well.
Okay, let me follow John before some of those questions.
I think the commissioner wanted to respond.
Oh, I'm sorry, commissioner, did you want to respond to?
Only that the Intel Center, if it's okay with you, I'll switch gears to how we got into the Intel Center. And basically, prior to the first of the year, we had several competing interests managing police intelligence countywide. You had the Westchester County Crime Analysis Unit, and you had the District Attorney's Westchester Intelligence Center. Along with NYSIC, which is the State Police Act aspect of counterterrorism, and State Police has their own intelligence system as well. And what we did since the first of the year is we took our crime analysis unit and we folded it into the Westchester Intelligence Center for a variety of reasons. Number one, it saved money. We were doing the same function in different places. Number two, there was a potential for criminal intelligence information to slip through the cracks. For instance, crime analysis, for the most part, was a Monday through Friday operation, as was the Westchester Intelligence Center. However, you could contact the county police 24/7. So information was being fragmented. I would say almost to some degree there was a little bit of competitiveness between the two entities. By combining the two, we recovered several bodies which were redeployed to patrol as a cost savings, and what we created, the net result, was a more effective management of intelligence information. Additionally, with the personnel recovered from there, we were able to assign someone to the Joint Terrorist Task Force and move the counterterrorism function into the Westchester Intelligence Center as well. So all three are together. Counterterrorism, crime analysis, and the WIC all are under one roof now, preventing the probability that information will slip through the cracks, and also giving us real-time information as it relates to counterterrorism by having somebody in the JTTF.
Can you explain the management structure of that then? I mean, everything's coming folded in together. What's the chain of command?
The district attorney employs a director of the Westchester Intelligence Center, a retired Mount Vernon captain by the name of Bob Kelly, very knowledgeable man, statistics-driven analysis of crime countywide. Along with him, we have a lieutenant assigned who's his counterpart for the county police officers who are present there. There's a number of civilian analysts that are employed by the DA's office. And so far, I would say it seems to be a model of how counties should go forward. We recently used it in the rash of bank robberies that affected 11 different jurisdictions, and we set up a task force that worked to complement the WIC. And we had detectives from all the participating agencies working out of county police headquarters, and we solved it in real time. Within 3 weeks, we identified, a suspect, and we followed him for several weeks until he met with the actual actor we were looking for. And it was resolved in a positive manner, but it was because of the collaborative effort that we were able to get it done quickly.
But Mr. Kelly is in charge. I mean, he's the...
That's correct. He's the director of the Westchester Intelligence Center.
It's comfortable enough to work within that structure. So.
Yes, sir.
To that point, quick question. Is it now 24-7 as opposed to Monday through Friday?
It's not 24-7 as of yet, but it will be activated off hours as needed.
All right. So say, Mount Kisco PD needed real-time intelligence on a Saturday evening.
Yes, we would employ it. Or let's say, for instance, Times Square has a nexus to Westchester County.
Yeah.
The center would be activated.
And so that's you. But then that ties in the story in the paper about the reduction of overtime. Is that a lot of that? The redeployment there, was that effective and part of the reason you're overtime able to get that?
That's correct. To a large degree, the personnel recovered from crime analysis, along with the mounted officers, the county executives detail, and moving detectives from investigative positions back to patrol increased the critical mass of the patrol division, thereby reducing the need for overtime. What happens is when you fall below the critical mass that's necessary to man all the posts in the patrol side of the house, anytime there's an unusual event, whether it's a prisoner transport, somebody calls in sick, somebody takes a day off, you're automatically in an overtime situation. By raising that critical mass on the patrol side, we have additional bodies to go to before we get into an overtime situation. That's how we've been able to reduce it.
Yeah, no, that's what it seemed like from that newspaper story. And I think that's, over the years, we come budget time every year, we try to deal with the commissioner and try to, see how we can work on that. And I think we're pleased to see that through this redeployment, if you will, and getting some flexibility that's got the overtime down. In that regard, I would ask if you could submit to the committee basically an organizational chart. So I'm relatively new to this, but I think some members, as in the spirit of wanting to work with your department and with, specifically, as we go through the year, you rearrange people. It's just really just an organizational chart of the various divisions and offices you have within your overall jurisdiction and number of people deployed there. And I know on a day-to-day basis, the county executive, you clearly run that department, but I think this committee, working with our budget committee, I think if we have that background, so at least we're up to speed as to where you are in your organization, and we can just, as we go through the year, be able to work with you in the administration to kind of see where we can, continue.
We'll have that to you today.
Terrific. Very good.
Ask one question. In regard to the various details, the mounted unit and the county executive's detail, the mounted unit has been completely dispersed now. The horses are in the process of being moved out of our inventory.
They're in the process, and they're the subject of several legal opinions on how,
really?
How to properly dispose of them.
But it's moving through the process.
It is moving through the process.
And the county executive's detail has been completely eliminated. Is that right?
It's been eliminated in that no one is assigned to him full-time. When he requests for transportation to or from a location, mm-hmm. we do deploy people to do that. However, those same people also work in patrol, and one was on the bank robbery task force. They perform other functions in the course of their day.
And do you have a breakout of those incidents where the county executive requests transportation?
I do not.
Can that be generated?
Surely.
I think we'd like to see that. It was a matter, as you recall, during the campaign of some sensitivity. And,
understood.
And it's still a sensitivity because we actually moved to dismantle that during the budget process. And I'd just like to see how it's going. We're not trying to break chops here, but it's just one of those things.
Understood.
Thank you.
Well, as a follow-up, and I think the budget committee maybe will get to this, but there was, you know, the headline in the paper a couple of weeks ago, all the savings due to the actions.
And we actually did that in budget a couple weeks ago.
Did you? Okay,
Life's sufficiently complicated. We're not trying to.
The commissioner and his team were in for the budget oversight meeting, I think, two or three Thursdays ago.
That's right. I was on, because the bodies, the question, what are the real, how do you define savings? I mean, the officers, the people are still there, and so, the headline made it sound like a lot of savings. But
if I could just distribute a little chart that illustrates the overtime reduction since,
Those are hours of overtime. It's actually the universal language of how to try and figure out, because an hour of overtime for a lieutenant is less than a civilian. I mean, it really, when you start getting into dollars, the dollars follow it, but the way we track it is in hours.
And again, this is only was it a quarter for the third?
Right.
This is 4 months.
Right.
It's a third of the year. So presumably, as you go through the rest of the year, annualized.
I have to put an asterisk and a disclaimer on that, if you will. This is where we are today.
Right.
This is the month before. Well, May is where this department kicks into park season, and our biggest overtime months come from May through September. Those are our heavy hitters. They're in the area. I mean, 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 hours. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, they're going to be less than that. You can't take a straight extrapolation of times three towards this number.
Exactly. But if I could also add that the numbers, as you see them in front of you, achieve the stated savings that we were there already for the year.
Commissioner, on the Intelligence Center, as typically happens with a lot of functions in public safety, whether it's fire, EMS, or police, are any of the larger municipalities still engaged in some functions that are kind of overlapping what we're doing centrally? I give you an example, a fire example. The county trying to get up and running a hazmat operation that will cover, through the mutual aid system, different community needs. But maybe a city like Yonkers running its own deal. Is any of that still going on with in the intelligence area?
I think it's one of these situations where if you build it correctly, they'll come.
Yeah.
We're probably 75% there. Okay. City Yonkers certainly still maintains its own intelligence division, but they are finding themselves coming to the WIC for I would say the intelligence business is a skill, and when it's well developed, when you know the databases to go to, you know where to look, you can do it much more efficiently than the person who does it periodically or doesn't work on counterterrorism, for instance.
Yeah.
So I think that we've come light years in the last several years in Westchester, but I think there's still room for improvement, and we're working on it.
Yeah, well, I tell you, the only reason why I bring that up, and that's a very good example, and it's very positive news. And over time, as the central operation gets even better and better, and communities, larger communities especially, start to use us more and more, we'll see the shift of the function. The reason why I bring it up is it stands as an example, as not across a broad front is the objective always to make the county government smaller. Sometimes what we do, we can identify a function, and that function grows, and it grows in a way where it puts less responsibility into the hands of all of these different municipalities around Westchester. The net result for taxpayers is greater service delivery, greater efficiency, higher level of service delivery, centralized, lower costs than if everybody was doing their own deal. So this general statement that we hear a great deal about, the objective is to get county government smaller and smaller and smaller. No, actually not. It's to properly locate functions, and public safety has proven to be an area where great efficiency and savings can come from centralization. But centralization of a function requires that the function grows so it's able to handle all the needs of Westchester. So it's a very good job that's going on.
This committee was ably led for several years by Mr. Ryan.
Just following up on that, I'll tell you, a lot of the town hall meetings I have, people are always questioning the county police, but when I'm finished describing to them the specialized functions that you perform that cannot be performed by the local municipalities, and also the patrol of the four highways we patrol that can't be really done effectively by five towns patrolling, you know, the length of a road, people understand and they accept it. So there's an educational. Okay. We have to get. I know you're finished. I want to come back to the gunshot just quickly. Yeah. So I could see the benefits in the sense that to the extent it reduces the need for certain police work to gather evidence, that's certainly a benefit there. And hopefully we'll find out from the local municipal authorities, you know, how that works through the system, from gunshot detection through potential bringing of a case. And then the other issue, the other value of it, as I can see, is you identify the areas where these problems are occurring, and you can deploy police there. And maybe it's difficult, maybe it's not, to identify or to gauge the deterrent effect. Because it seemed to me if you can control what's going on in a certain area, you will deter people from using guns. Coming back for a second to the intelligence center, two questions on the forensics. Our forensics unit, were there existing forensics units in these other operations, or are we providing pretty much the capability there?
Forensics stands independent of the intelligence center, and we certainly provide that service.
So we still have that
countywide. Yes.
Right. Okay. And secondly, anti-terrorism. Given what happened in Times Square, of course, that's an issue. I know we had one person, I guess, in your department, who was doing anti-terrorism. Now, it's now being housed in the intelligence center, and how many people are involved? Is there one person, one person?
Well, you know, without disclosing too much information regarding recent events, but we were actively involved in the incident that happened in Manhattan. But to the degree that we're involved, is much more operational now because we are an active participant on the Joint Terrorist Task Force, right, as opposed to being analytical or theoretical only. So we have a more active role by having a detective who's actually assigned to the case itself.
Right.
The Intelligence Center is up and running to provide us with any information that we need to further the investigative aspect of the case. I'm not sure if I'm answering the question.
I know that there are locations in Westchester that are potential terrorist targets.
No question.
I assume that we're still keeping this, however we've reorganized the counterterrorism function, we're keeping a close eye on those.
I think it would be safe to say that we've improved the counterterrorism function.
Okay, and final question quickly. With respect to the overtime savings, in which areas of these have you saved the 7,000 pounds? What are the principal areas of savings?
It's in the patrol division because that critical mass that I described, which is the minimum number of people that you need to fill the schedule and to cover incidental overtime, we've increased the number of people that are in patrol.
Okay, thanks.
We're running out of time, but just very, following up on that, this last incident, it is the whole area of mutual aid, and we'll do this maybe at another meeting at some point in the future because I guess it'll get more and more involved. But my understanding is several, for example, Harrison police officers somehow mobilized and went into the system. I don't know how far down towards New York City they got. So it raised the question. I haven't been able to follow it. Yeah, it raised the question throughout Westchester County. Do we have some kind of system? Something happens in New York City. Is there a coordinated mutual aid in the various police departments, you know, outside the county, all kind of get involved? Do you get involved in any of that?
It's kind of a multifaceted question.
I was surprised.
Understood.
But I heard several of our officers.
I cannot speak for the Harrison role because I'm not really sure where that role would fit into the New York City. We certainly have members of the Department of Public Safety that are on the FBI Organized Crime Task Force, the FBI's Violent Crime Task Force, the U.S. Marshals Task Force.
But there's a specific incident in Times Square. I mean, something happened, you know, obviously.
Yes.
New York City Police.
I can tell you without being too specific, that we were actively involved. We played a major role.
But the local
the local police departments? Is there some kind of coordinated mutual aid type of situation?
I mean, I think the question is, does it go out, does the request for mutual aid go out to each department independently?
Yeah, 40 departments of you?
If we could split it and talk about investigative versus an incident.
Yeah.
If an unusual occurrence or an incident occurs, there's a Westchester County Mutual Aid and Rapid Response Plan, which will put 120 cops in any one block radius within 20 minutes.
Okay.
So there's a plan in place to rapidly deploy personnel, police personnel, should we need them. Now, having said that, investigative resources are generally provided on request, except for the unique circumstances where we have intermunicipal agreements with the federal government to act in certain capacities. Our detectives are actually deputized to perform federal service, and we do actively participate.
We'll pursue that maybe at another meeting at a time, but it's an area that I think we need to have a good understanding.
Just on the point, to wrap this up, the mutual aid plan for police response, you have an incident somewhere in one of the cities and requiring heavy personnel presence. To go back to Marty's point about terrorism, do we still have in effect the critical incident response team and the agreement? That's all still in effect? Okay.
Okay. Lyndon, you okay?
No, my question was answered, and okay. I have a question.
Let me just final question on the gunshots. The criteria, because from our perspective, we did it for Yonkers and Mount Vernon, and the question may come up in the future after there's more time. Should we do more? So criteria used for understanding how effective the program is to potentially expand it, where, again, as Lyndon said, with the county, whether it's New Rochelle, White Plains, Harris, or wherever, are you... maybe not a point yet, what kind of criteria would you use to figure out, was it effective enough that we need to expand it? Would you come and recommend expansion?
The way I would look at it, quite frankly, would not be so much from a savings perspective, but more from an apprehension perspective. If you grab the one shooter, that guy is not going to be involved in just one incident.
Right.
Going forward, he's going to injure other people. So I would measure the effectiveness of the system by how many apprehensions we make of people who have a propensity to discharge firearms in the streets in Westchester.
Okay, very good. Thank you all for coming. Appreciate the update.
Thank
it was
you.
Very
yes.
helpful.
Yeah.
So thank you, and hopefully we'll see you. I'd ask for it to review the minutes, and I'd ask for moved by Leslie Nona, second by Leslie Berg, all in favor.
Aye.
Minutes are approved.
Good motion to adjourn.
I see you next
morning. Motion to adjourn, seconded, all in favor.
Aye.
We stand adjourned. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank you for joining. Budget committee will be starting
shortly. Marty, we'll see.
Take care. Good seeing
you. This was a voluntary separation.
Bill.
I'm sorry?
There's
a 10 o'clock budget and...
I'm happy they're all there, but what am I paying for?
I try all the time. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. We're looking at 10:30.
But if I'm going to have it, what's the plan here?
Yeah.